Today I want us to look at Genesis chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 6 and maybe 1 through 7. So let's begin reading in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3. If you have a Bible, I hope that you'll read along with us as we look in God's Word. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And in verse 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons." Here the Lord God has recorded here in these verses the fall of our first parents here in the Garden of Eden. And the reason I want us to try to look at this today, there's so much misunderstanding about what happened here in the garden. If you don't understand what happened here in the garden, someone said if you're wrong on the fall, you're going to be wrong on it all. If you don't understand what happened here when man fell, you won't understand anything else in the Word of God. So today, with the Lord's help, I want us to look at these verses and to see this that happened here in Genesis chapter 3. But before I get here in chapter 3, I want us to go back and read some verses from chapter 1 to show where God created Adam and Eve before he ever placed them here in the garden. And in verse 26 of chapter 1, "And God said, Let us make the man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree, yieldeth seed to you, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowls of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." And look in verse 7 of chapter 2. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became," notice this, "and man became a living soul." God gave him this soul. God made man in his own image. God is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and man is body, soul, and spirit made in the image of God. And now, begin reading in verse 15 of chapter 2. "And the Lord God took the man that he had made, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now notice that God put him here. God put him in this garden, in this place. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying," and here was the command. It wasn't an option, it was a command. "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Read that again. For in the day, and when God told Adam, now notice this, God told Adam, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam's not been formed yet. Eve's not been formed yet. Eve's not been brought unto Adam. So he's speaking this to Adam, the federal head. In verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what Adam would call them. Now notice this, God didn't name the animals. God didn't name the fowl of the air. He brought them unto Adam to see what Adam would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam was a brilliant man. It's untelling how much he knew before that he sinned against God. In verse 20, and Adam gave names unto all the cattle, and to all the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. Now notice this, and he brought her unto the man. God only made one creature, only made one man, and that was Adam. And he brought the woman from the man. She was taken from his side. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. We see here in Adam being a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this from the Scriptures. In Romans 5:14, it says that Adam, who is the figure of him that was to come, talking about Christ, and Eve is a picture of God's church that was taken from the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. She came from him, and they were united together as man and his wife, that they cleaved together as one flesh. This union of God, the Father, the Son, and his bride. Now we come to chapter 3, and I said all that so you'll understand to get some background to see all that God commanded Adam, what God gave Adam. And now we see him here in the garden. And now we come to me, every time I read this, it just disturbs me as I think back about how we all got in this mess. How that Adam lived in a world of innocency. He walked in fellowship with God. And how that Satan came and deceived him and his wife, or deceived Eve. And then Adam chose to do what he did. Now beginning in verse 1. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Here we see Adam. He is a symbol, this tree that God placed in this garden. This is a symbol in God's teaching Adam that God is sovereign in all things. And that man is responsible for God's commands. He's commanded to be obedient. And this tree was planted in the garden, which he was not permitted to partake of. And see, now the serpent comes to him. He says, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Here we see Satan. He is a subtle enemy. There's little is known about this serpent. We just see that he took upon himself here the form of a serpent. What he looked like before the fall, we don't know. And we don't understand why would Eve stand here and talk to this creature. It doesn't act like she's afraid of him or anything. We don't know the answers to these questions. But there's some things that are very clear here. Satan came to our first parents. And why did he come? Why did he come now Now that Adam has a wife, why does he come to Eve? He came to attack. He's not really interested in Eve. He's not really interested in the woman. I think maybe he thought, well, I can get to the man through the woman, but he's really not interested in the woman or in the man. He's interested in attacking the very throne of God. That's what Satan's objective is. That's what his objective is now. Satan thinks that he can overthrow the throne of God, which he can't. But that was his objective here. And if you want to, in your spare reading, if you want to read where Satan fell, Lucifer, you can find this in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 19, and Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. I'll read you two verses from Isaiah. For thou hast said in thine heart, talking about Satan, I will ascend into the heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, and I will be like the Most High God. That's what he said in his heart, and he wanted to get to God. And the way he came to attack, he didn't go to the woman, to the man. He came to the woman. It said, and he said unto the woman, the weaker vessels, what she's referred to in 1 Peter 3:7. And in 2 Corinthians 11:3 it says, but I fear this by any means, as the serpent, that old serpent, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, his craftiness. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Remember this, that God taught Adam. God instructed Adam. Remember I showed you that back in verse 17 of Genesis 2. And then Adam told Eve. Adam had instructed Eve what God had commanded. So she got her information from Adam. And Satan come to her. So he came to Satan come to our first parents. Eve was probably alone. Some think she had maybe been near the tree, maybe even been looking at the tree. So when Satan came, and I want you to see this, the first thing that he did was to attack God's word. He said, yea, hath God said. God did say it. That's what he did say. But Satan said, has God really said that? Did God really mean that? He maybe could have said to her, you're supposed to be a superior creature to everybody else and everything else. And God's keeping something from you. And Satan's objective today is still the same. He still wants to question God's word. That's why I tried to encourage you to take your Bible and to follow along with me. Don't take my word for it. That you need to find out yourself what God's word says, not what somebody else says that God's word says. Ever, you hear a lot of people say, well, God's word says this, and it doesn't say that. And here was Satan's, this is how he came. He questions God's word. Not what someone says that God says, but what does God say? Satan comes and he's trying to throw doubt upon God's word. Did God really say that? Did you really hear him right? Maybe you didn't hear him just exactly right. So now verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Eve talked to this serpent, and she was not alarmed. I don't think Satan came in some scary form. And when he comes today, he's not going to come with a red suit and a forked tail and a pitchfork. That ain't how he comes. He comes today dressed in a suit, standing in a pulpit. And he gets people to question God's word. And he said, and this is how Eve answered him. Eve knew the commandment of God. She said that we may eat of the trees, but the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. Now watch what she said. She added to the word of God. She said, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Let me read you what God said in verse 17 of Genesis 2. The day that thou eatest thereof, now this was God's command, this is what God said, thereof, when you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. No question here. That's what he said. Not that you might die, you shall surely die. That's what God said. So you see where Satan got Eve. God said, you shall not surely die. She said, you shall not lest you die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman. Now here he is. This is exactly what God said. But he said, ye shall not surely die. This is a direct denial of God's word. Here Satan comes in a serpent, taking on this form. And listen to me this morning, he's still able to transform himself into an angel of light. He's not an angel of light, but he's able to transform himself into a messenger of light. He's not that messenger, but he tries to come as a messenger of light. Let me read you some scripture, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. He said, you shall not surely die. And how does Satan speak today? He speaks now through fallen men, false preachers. He says, that's not what God says. They change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. But Satan, a direct denial of God's word. Verse 5. Here's what Satan said. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You won't die. Your eyes will be opened. You'll know good and you'll be as a god, knowing good and evil. Satan says that this is only a threat from God to keep you in subjection to him. God won't bring judgment upon you. He won't carry it out. God loves you too much. Doesn't that sound familiar? God knows all things, and he knows that if you eat of the tree, the eyes of your understanding will be opened, and you will know things that you didn't know before. Oh, yes, they did know things that she didn't know before, but he didn't tell her the whole story. Satan says that you will be as gods yourself, and you will know good and evil. You know what he's doing? He's actually trying to cast a slur upon the very character of Almighty God. People try to set God in a light today that God's not displayed in his true character as he's revealed in his word. And that's what Satan's doing here. God's keeping something from you. Now listen. Here's what he says. Now Satan's a liar. John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. In Romans 1:25, now this is where we are today. Man has been told, he's still being told by Satan, as he uses instruments to preach a false gospel. Here's what they've done. They changed or exchanged the truth of God into a lie. They've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Man today has tried to get man to understand or tried to convince him that he's a god and that God must bow to him. And this was Satan's lie. This is what he told Eve. This is what he said to her. And look in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Eve began to look more closely at the tree. Like I said, we don't know for sure. She could have been standing right there beside the tree.
as Satan is, as the serpent is talking to her. She saw that it was a tree good for food. That means it was by the lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes, or the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. And it said, notice there that she took of the fruit thereof. She rebelled. That which God had commanded them not to do, she did. And she did eat. And I want you to see this. It doesn't say that anything happened. It doesn't say that her eyes were opened. You know why? And I want to show you this in just a minute. She's not the federal head. God created Adam. God told Adam. Eve came from Adam. And look at this. Now, don't you see this? Let me read the verse again, so I don't want you to miss this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And when he ate, then the eyes of them both were opened in verse 7. And they knew, both of them, that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Why was it when Adam ate? Adam is the federal head of all men. Wherefore, as one man sinned, entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. As Eve was in Adam, all men are in Adam. Every man, woman, boy, or girl that has ever lived was in Adam. And when Adam rebelled, we all rebelled. When Adam ate, Eve's eyes were opened. Not until. He is the representative. He's the federal head. He represented all men. All men. Adam did. And when he ate, their eyes were opened. Eve was deceived, but not Adam. Satan deceived Eve, not Adam. Adam knew what he was doing. Now I want you to see this. Remember, Adam is in a state of holiness. Adam had a perfect righteousness. And Adam is the only man that ever had a free will. Adam did what he did willingly, freely, of his own will. Why? Because he wanted to. He chose to sin. He rebelled. His eyes were not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. Most people's never been taught this. They've never saw this, that it's in Adam. But why did Adam partake of this fruit? If he knew what he was doing, why did he do this? If he knew when he partook of this fruit, now think with me for a minute. When he knew, if he knew, when he partook of this fruit, that he would bring upon himself death. Now, we know that they didn't die physically right now, but they did die spiritually. We're going to maybe look at that, Lord willing, next week. But his eyes were opened, and he understood what he did. But why did he do this? I believe it was because he loved his wife. He loved Eve. And we have a picture here. Oh, what a beautiful picture of the gospel. That Adam loved Eve. He knew what he was going to do and what he did and what he did on purpose. He was willing to come under the wrath and the judgment of Almighty God because he loved his wife. The scriptures say, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Adam was willing to give it all up to be identified with his wife because he loved her. And the good news this morning is the Lord Jesus Christ loves his church, and he was willing to bring upon himself the wrath and the judgment of Almighty God to redeem a people that he loved with an everlasting love. What a picture that Adam loved Eve. And when he partook of the fruit, that his wife gave him, he did eat, and took himself, brought himself under the judgment of Almighty God. The scripture says that Christ was made sin for us, and you know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when the eyes of them both were opened, now they knew that they were naked. And when they knew this, what did they do? They went about to try to undo what they had done. They sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. A man today is trying his best to undo what's happened. He thinks, well, if I can sew some fig leaves together of my own works, of my own efforts, then I can cover up my nakedness. And all men, by nature, since the fall, since Adam sinned, we all come in this world not just only naked physically, we come naked spiritually before Almighty God. We're without any covering to cover up our shame and our guilt and our nakedness. We've rebelled against God. And this is what sin is. It is rebellion against the throne of Almighty God. This is what Satan wanted to do. He says, well, I'll go to Eve, and I'll get to Adam, and when I get to Adam, I'll get to God. And when he deceived Eve, and Adam then partook of the fruit and rebelled against God, he brought this world, and we're going to see, and everything in it, under the curse and the judgment of Almighty God. And it's a thing called death. Death. Like I said, they didn't die right here physically. They died spiritually. And as we live, we are dying. And one day, these bodies will die. One day, they'll lay these bodies in the grave. Why? Sin. Why does a man get sick? Sin. Why do we have so much problems with the flesh and all these things that are going on to the world? Sin. And we find this out right here. And if you don't understand what happened here, you don't understand anything else. And I realize that the only way you can understand anything is for God to give you an understanding. And I pray that God might take this message today, and be pleased to open up your eyes, and that you may see that without God you are naked. And that your feeble attempts to try to sew fig leaves together to try to cover up your nakedness, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The Lord willing, we'll try to pick up there in verse 8 next week and try to look down through about verse 21. Until next week, may the Lord bless you.